This talk is from the teaching ministry at New Heights Church, Vancouver, Washington, where we seek to bring help, hope, and home to hurting people through Jesus Christ.
Really a series that's kind of emerged out of my life and some of the things that God has been teaching me over the years about what it means to follow Him and to live a life successfully as He defines success, and how there are some patterns and practices in our life that if we'll invest a little bit of time into those every day over a long period of time, it can pay a huge dividend in helping us live life well. And so we're calling the series Invest, 5 Words That Pay Dividends. And before we jump into the first word, let me set the stage just a little bit more about how this series has emerged from my life. And I need to begin by telling you a golf story. And so I apologize if you don't like golf. Actually, there's times I don't like golf. But most of the time I like to play golf. I don't play a lot right now, but I started playing when I was 16. I had some friends that invited me to come along with them. They showed me a few pointers, and then I was off it and running. And being the competitive person that I am, every time I played, I wanted to play well. I wanted to have a good score and make good shots. And typically what would happen is I would start the round playing pretty decent. And my shot would go straight down the fairway and I would be playing pretty well, feeling pretty good. And then about hole 4 or 5, something mysterious happened, and my shots began to hit this vortex in the air to where they would hit a certain spot and then just start slicing off into the woods. I mean, they would go 50 yards this way and then like 150 yards that way. And I would slice it into the woods, and then on the next hole, I'd be like, oh, why did I do that? I've got to hit it straight. And I'd try hard to hit it straight, and then it would slice 3 or 4 fairways over. And then the next hole would have houses on it, and I would slice it into the houses. And finally, I said, you know what? Okay, if the ball's going to go this way, then I'm going to aim this way so that I can, and then that would be the time the ball would go that way. And the frustrating part of it was I would try so hard, and I had no idea why the ball wasn't behaving, why my shot was so terrible. So finally, I got so fed up with it that I decided I need to invest in some golf lessons. And so that's what I did. I signed up, I went to a golf instructor, and over the course of many weeks, he taught me some of the basics and the fundamentals of a golf swing. And from my grip to my backswing to how my hips came through to the tempo that I swung at to what the backs, my follow-through should look like. And an amazing thing happened, not all at once, but a little bit over time, I began to realize if I followed these kind of anchor points of a golf swing, I would have an opportunity to hit a good golf shot. And what was great too, was that when I hit a bad shot, which I still hit plenty of those, at least this time, I had a framework for which to say, ah, I think that's why the ball is going into the woods, and I could correct it for the next time. Now, again, none of these lessons, none of these anchor points of my swing instantly fixed my golf game. I was not and am in no means a perfect golfer. But they are the basis for which I can practice and over time become an even better golfer. And over the years, I've come to see that experience with golf as a metaphor for my life. As with golf, I've wanted to live the life God has given me well. I've wanted to be successful. I wanted to please God in my life. I wanted to try to live to help other people. I've wanted to provide and love and lead my family well and to be productive in the career God has called me to. And sometimes in the course of my life, I've done okay in those things, but much of the time, I've struggled. There'd be times that I would just have this overwhelming sense of, I'm not very pleasing to God right now, and I'm not sure how I got here, and I'm not sure how to fix it. I'm not very good at helping people. I want to help people, but I'm not sure how to do it. And it seems like sometimes I make a bigger mess of it than had I just stayed away. And instead of loving and leading my family, I found that I was frustrated and irritable and selfish with them. And instead of being excited and joyful in my job, I found myself uncertain and insecure if I was ever doing it right or doing enough. And so in the same way that I went to a golf instructor when I struggled in golf, I decided it would be a good idea if I went to a counselor when I was struggling in life. And that began a journey over many years of God helping me to see a number of practices and patterns and anchor points for my life that if I invested a little bit of time and energy regularly over a long period of time, that it would pay dividends in helping me to live this life God has given me well. And also that when I still find myself struggling, that it's not that I have no idea why I got here, but that I have a frame of reference to be able to say, I think I see what's going on here, and I have a frame to be able to fix it moving forward. And so these patterns, these anchor points, are the five words that we're going to look at in the weeks to come, especially as we enter into this fall season. And I'm hopeful that this is a good time of year to look at five words, five patterns to slowly incorporate into our life as we enter the fall, because the fall feels kind of like a start of a new year, doesn't it? I mean, with going back to school and kind of reestablishing some of those routines and schedules that were a little looser during the summer, fall is a time of year where we say, okay, fresh start, how am I going to live? And my hope and prayer is that these words can be helpful and an encouragement as we enter into this new year. But not only can it feel like the start of a fresh year, it can also feel like the start of a race, doesn't it? I mean, this weekend is kind of like ready, set, go as we fly into fall sports and flying back into school and fall activities. And then as soon as those kind of settle down, then it's the holidays and we're whirling about to the holidays. And before you know it, it's January. I mean, it's practically January right now. All right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that to you. But it can feel like, man, we've got so much going on, so much coming up in our schedules that it's a whirlwind. But not only is it challenging because we're very busy, it's also challenging because we always carry burdens with us as we go through life. The burdens are problems that we can't handle, and the burdens involve people that we can't stand. Sometimes the problems are financial in nature, or maybe it's medical, or maybe it relates to car trouble, or that school you were planning to get accepted into and it never quite worked out. Maybe it has to do with your living situation or the job that you want or your plans for the future. All of us, given a little bit of time, could write down one or many problems in our life that are kind of stressing us out. But not only is it problems that stress us out, there are people that stress us out in our life as well. Whether it's our boss or a coworker, whether it's a marriage that's in tension and turmoil, whether it's our kids, or whether it's a friend who's distancing themselves, we all have that person or a number of people in our life that when their name comes across our mind or we're in their presence, just kind of sets us on edge. And we're not always certain what to do and how to make it through. And between as busy as this season is, and as many problems as we're facing and people challenges that we have, life can feel like this big juggling match where we've got all these balls that we have to try to keep in the air. But we can't do all of them at once. And we notice there's a few balls that we don't have in the air. And so we try as best we can to reach and get those balls in the air. And it seems like as soon as we add one, two others fall down. And the thought of trying to even live well and successfully is like, how do we do this? And we can begin to feel like I felt playing golf. I want to do this well, but I don't know why this is such a struggle. We need help. So how is it that we can face the challenges of our life and the pressing issues of our day? This brings us to our first word. The first word that if we'll invest in, will pay a dividend over time. And the first word is connect. That is, connect with the Lord and to find your center in God. And a beautiful passage that invites us to connect to the Lord in the midst of overwhelming problems and difficult people is Psalm 46. And in Psalm 46, we'll see what a life connected to the Lord is like and how we can stay connected to Him in the challenges of our everyday. Now, it may be that you're here and you've never established a connection. A connection between you and God has not been established. And what you need to hear is that connection does not get established simply by coming to church or reading your Bible or doing enough good things. The only way that anyone can be connected to God is by coming to Him on His terms. And God's terms are that we come to Him on the basis of His Son, the Lord Jesus, of trusting fully in who He is and what He has done for us. To know that God sent the Lord Jesus into our world to live a perfect life and to die a death He didn't deserve in our place in order to forgive our sin so that our connection to God could be established. And so a connection with God is based on what Jesus has done and receiving His gift, nothing that we do to earn it or establish it on ourselves. And so if you're here and you've never received what Jesus has done for you, today could be the day that you abandon confidence in your own plan and say, Jesus, I trust what you've done for me, and you are the one that gives me a connection to yourself and to the Father. Now, it may be that you're here and you do have a connection with God through the Lord Jesus, but because of the stress and the busyness of life, you've missed out on seeing the God who's available to you and who is present in your life. And Psalm 46 is an invitation to you to know the God who's made Himself available to you. And so I'd like to read Psalm 46, and then we'll spend a little bit of time looking at it together. So we've printed it for you in your worship folder. I invite you to stand in honor of God's word, and we'll take a look. Psalm 46, beginning there with the little superscription, it says this, for the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. And it's always good to remember that the superscription is in the Hebrew Bible, verse 1. And so it's every bit Bible as the rest of this psalm. And what it tells us is this is a worship song. The nation of Israel used this psalm in their worship to sing together and to remember who God is. So this is a song, and if you're looking at it in front of you, you can see that this song is broken up into three kind of sections, three verses, and those are set off by this word Selah. And the word Selah means to pause, to stop, to breathe. It's a musical interlude of sorts, and the idea behind it is to just stop and reflect on what has been said. And then you'll also notice, if you're looking at it, that verse 7 and verse 11 serve as a chorus to this song. And so I want to read it for us, and then we'll continue to look at it. So let's continue verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Selah. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. All right, thanks. You can have a seat. So this beautiful psalm, this invitation from the Lord, opens with verse 1, which is really kind of the central truth of this whole psalm. And it says this: God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. God is our refuge. That is, he's a place of protection. God is our strength. He is the power source for us to be able to live this life. And God is an ever-present help. That is, he's here to help. He's available to help. He's wanting to help. And so if you're a note taker and you want to write down next to verse 1, you can write this: realize that God is with us and wants to help us. Realize God is with us and wants to help us. That's the core message of this psalm. He is a resource to us in our time of trouble. And what are the times of trouble that God wants to help us with? Well, notice verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. And so if you want to write down next to verses 2 and 3, God is with us and wants to help us with the problems we can't handle. With the problems we can't handle. Verses 2 and 3 are talking about nature in chaos. And there's something incredibly unsettling to experience nature in chaos, whether that's a hurricane or an earthquake or a tornado or a flood, because when we come face to face with the power and the chaotic nature of the elements, we recognize there's nothing we can do in the face of this. This is completely beyond us. And yet the nation of Israel is willing to say, even in the midst of natural disaster, we know that God is still in control. But it's not just nature in chaos that is beyond our control. We all experience problems in our life, in our daily life, that are beyond our control. There are times that our health gives way and our career falls into the heart of the sea. Our finances roar and foam, and the plans that we had for our future shift and shake with uncertainty. And yet the psalm says, when we realize that the God who made everything is present and is willing to help us, even if those things happen, even if those things are currently happening, we can choose not to fear. And so if you want to underline that little phrase in verse 2, we will not fear. The nation of Israel, as they sang this, said, even if the worst happens, we will not fear. And we too can know that when there are problems in our life that we're not sure what to do, that we don't have to fear because God is with us. But it's not only the problems, but it's also the people struggles that we have. Notice verse 4. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. And so if you want to write down next to verses 4 through 6, with the people that we can't stand. God is with us and wants to help us with the people that we can't stand. You see, this psalm here really rises out of a historical event for the nation of Israel in which an invading army that was bent on destruction of the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem surrounded them and was ready to attack. And yet God, in his grace and in his power and in his presence, helped the nation of Israel and defeated that army in a miraculous way. And it's good to know that God is in control of conflicting nations. But not only is God in control of conflicting nations, God is also in control of conflicting people. And sometimes the conflicts that we face with other people are with people that we love. Sometimes the conflicts are with people that we don't like so much. And other times it's with people that don't like us so much. But we all have those people in our life that when we think of their name or they come into our life, we begin to stress and we begin to wonder, I don't know how to handle this. And this portion of the psalm assures us that God is with us and wants to help us. Therefore, you can underline in verse 5, she will not fall. That is, we don't have to fall apart in the midst of stressful people if we realize that God is with us and wants to help us. And then we come to the chorus, verse 7. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And again, that's saying the same thing as verse 1, that God is with us, that he wants to help us. You see, verses 1 through 7 are about recognizing that when we connect with God, we open ourselves up and we connect with his resources for the challenges of that current moment that we're facing. You see, this was a game changer for me to recognize and to realize in my life. For much of my Christian life, I've often viewed, or at least treated, time with God and reading the Bible and connecting to him as kind of an isolated incident, to where you said, well, you know, as a Christian, I'm supposed to connect with God. I'm supposed to read my Bible, and I do that, and I pray, and then that's there. And then I go off into the day and try to make it happen. But through struggle, through watching other people, through God's grace in my life, I've come to see that that's not what connecting with God is all about. Connecting with God isn't an isolated incident. Connecting with God is a real-time resource for the challenges that I'm currently facing. And that's changed my orientation towards saying, God, I'm not just trying to connect with you to check a box. I need to connect with you in order to live this life. And if I'm not connecting with you, I have no resource in order to handle the challenges or the decisions or the burdens or the busyness that's in front of me. But if I do connect with you, inexhaustible resource is available through your kindness and your grace. And so how is it that we can realize this? How does God help us to see that he is with us and wants to help us? Notice verse 8. It says, come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations that he's brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He turns the shields with fire. And so if you want to write down next to verses 8 and 9, see God's power. See God's power. We realize that God is with us and wants to help us when we see God's power. You see, for the nation of Israel who was singing this, they recognized in their history that God had protected them, that God had provided for them. They had tangible instances in their own experience and in their history of ways that God had come through. And when you and I will stop and listen and look for how God has protected us in the past, how God has provided for us in the past, when there was that problem we faced and we had no idea how to solve it, and all of a sudden the doors opened and it came together and we're like, only God could have done that. When we see his power in our life and we see what he's done in the past, that helps us in the current moment to say, all right, Lord, I know that you're here with me and I know you can help me in this moment too. But not only is it in seeing God's power, also it's in stopping racing around. And so if you want to write that next to verse 10, stop racing around. One of the ways that we can connect with God is by stop racing around. Verse 10 says this, be still and know that I am God. This is an invitation from God himself. And literally the idea of to be still is to stop struggling. Stop racing around. Racing is kind of how we live, isn't it? Wake up in the morning and our mind's already racing of all the things we have to do. And then it's go time and we're racing from place to place to try to get it all in and get it all done. And then we fall asleep again, only to wake up in the morning and race all around again. And at that hectic, frenetic pace, it's very difficult to realize that God is with us and wants to help us because we're too busy trying to make it happen on our own. And God invites us instead to say, stop racing around. Rest, relax, and realize that I am working, that I am with you, that I want to help you. It goes on to say in verse 10, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. God has a plan for the problems and the people that are overwhelming us. God is in control of those, and he will be exalted. The psalm concludes with that chorus, verse 11. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And so God says, don't race around. Take time to rest. Take time to recognize that I'm with you. And then when we do that, then we can re-engage the life and the challenges and the struggles with a new sense of purpose, with a new sense of hope, because we know that God is at work. And so what are some of the tools that God has given us to be able to connect with him? We see them in this psalm played out, and I want to share them with you briefly. So you can write these down if you'd like. These are tools that God uses to help us connect with him. And so the first one is this. We connect with God through the Bible. This psalm is the Bible. God had this psalm specially written down to show us his heart for us. And that's the purpose of the Bible. It's not a trivia book. It's not a rule book. It's not just a ritual. The Bible is God's way of revealing who he is to us. And so reading the Bible, again, isn't just to check a box or to get God to be impressed with us. Reading the Bible is a way of saying, God, I want to know who you are. I want to be reminded of your power in the past, and I want to be reminded of your heart for me right now. The second way that we connect with God is through singing. This psalm is a song. It was designed to be sung, and there's something so beautiful in a way that it impacts our heart and our mind to sing God's truth. And I'm so grateful for the worship songs that we get to sing together here at New Heights and how those songs can stick with us throughout the week. God has used those songs in my life to encourage me and to help me connect with him. God also, the third way that we connect with God is through other people. God doesn't intend this Christian life to be lived alone. Over and over again in this psalm, we see the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And when we're in connection with others, it's much easier to stay connected to God because other people encourage us and pull us along and have faith for us, even when we don't have faith for ourselves. And so I encourage you at this time of year to engage with a group, to reach out to a friend and say, hey, let's try to connect with God together and don't go it alone. And then finally, in this psalm, we see that we connect with God through reflection. It's built into this psalm three times, that phrase or that word Selah, where it just says stop, pause, reflect, think about what has just happened, and don't race ahead to the next thing so quickly. And that's a great pattern to establish in our life. A little simple investment in reflecting on who God is and what he's done, that he wants to help you throughout the day, will pay a huge dividend in being able to recognize who he is and what he wants to do. And so as you head out from here into a busy week, as we enter into this race of fall, what does it look like for you to connect with God? Well, if you already have a pattern for what it looks like for you to connect with God, I encourage you to keep at it. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just needs to be a little over a long period of time. But if you're here and you're like, I want to connect with God, but I'm not sure what that looks like for me, let me give you a suggestion. To sometime today, write out a simple prayer to the Lord that helps put him at the center of your life. Maybe there's a scripture verse, a Bible verse that has been encouraging to you in the past that you can incorporate into your prayer. And if you're not sure what to say, then just use the prayer here in Psalm 46 and say, God, help me to realize that you are with me and that you want to help me today. And then find a time each day this week to pray that prayer and to just pause, whether it's in the morning or the afternoon or the evening, and say, Lord, help me to realize that you're here with me and that you want to help me. And then if there are some problems or some people issues that are stirring around in your heart, just take a moment and say, Lord, this is on my heart. And you could write them down or you could just speak them out. But if you'll spend a little bit of time, not perfectly, not all the time, but a little bit over a long period of time, I promise you that you'll connect with the Lord and you'll open yourself up to him and his resource for you to live the challenges of your current life. In just a moment, we're going to pray and then we're going to sing a final song. This song God has used in my life to help remind me of his presence, of his willingness to help. And I invite you, as we sing it, to enter into God's invitation to know that he's with you and that he wants to help you. So let's take a minute, let's pray together. Lord, we recognize that our lives are busy. There's lots of things that are going on. Lord, we also know that we carry great burdens, things that are beyond us that we're not sure how to handle, that cause great pain. Lord, those things can cause us to struggle. We can become afraid. We can feel like we're going to fall apart. And Lord, thank you that even in the midst of that, you are with us, that you want to help us. So Lord, I pray that we would connect with you in our life, not out of a sense of obligation, not out of a sense of, oh, I just need to check a box, but that we would connect with you out of a desperation that says, I can't do this life without you, Lord. And then that we would find the delight that comes from knowing that you're with us and that you want to help us. Lord, thank you for the Lord Jesus that opened up that door for us. Thank you for your incredible patience and grace that carries us and provides for us even when we miss you. And so I pray that in this upcoming week, you'd open the door for us to see you in a fresh way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Copyright New Heights Church. Contact us at info@newheights.org.